Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, it was the Vatican, it was the Pope, it's happening in Italy. They took down a facility in, I don't know, Ukraine, a Biden facility, and then Trump was supposed to address the nation at 1:30. We should have been a martial law by now. Pence is a traitor, blah, 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 yada, yada. All that stuff. I don't know about you. Welcome back. This is Steve Noble. The Steve Noble Show, coming to you live from my studio here in Raleigh, all by myself still, because still fighting the COVID. Started a week ago Sunday, so my production assistant will be back in here on Wednesday after we have the official all clear button pressed somewhere by Pope Fauci. I don't know. That's the least of our problems in America. But the purge has begun. Have you noticed? Where is this going to go? How long is it going to last? How deep does it run? How dangerous is it to conservatives, and specifically to, well, people like me and people like you as conservative Bible thumpers, people that name the name, claim exclusivity through Jesus Christ, the veracity and truth of the Bible, you know, radical fringe elements, stuff like that. And but none of that, if your house is built on the rock, should ultimately throw you. You shouldn't be freaking out, losing sleep. I don't know, maybe a little bit concerned for your nation. That's fine. Be a patriot. That's good. And care for your neighbor. Absolutely. But if this stuff's completely wrecking you, then I would just encourage you to get back to your foundation. I would ask you, what is your foundation? And be very careful. Maybe you just need to take a push back from the table and not dine so much on everything that we're getting right now. I'm not saying it isn't important. I'm not saying it isn't a big deal. I'm not saying it isn't dangerous, but it isn't the only thing. And if you, and if the whole of your Christian life is wrapped up in what happens to the United States of America, then I think you're selling your Christian life short, because there's a whole lot more to being a follower of Jesus Christ than there is that can be found in your residency as a citizen in the United States of America. Okay, that just needing to say that. So I got a bunch of stuff going on here today. Of course, the purge going on. When's it going to get to me? I'm still, I would say I'm a small fry compared to the people in the institutions that the purge is affecting. The purge being, now there's this whipped up frenzy. The phrase domestic terrorism is catching fire. Now I can't even speak in analogous language or metaphorical language, right? Because now what are you saying, Steve? Are you saying go burn something down? No, you idiot. That's not what I'm saying. Sorry. And so that's going on. And so when it started with the president, now it's spread out from there, obviously. And now Parler's suing Amazon for suspending the app from the cloud service, claims antitrust violation and breach of contract. That's just one part of it. But it started with President Trump, of course, and I want to get into this because they're using some of this language in this sham impeachment, which is like Nancy Pelosi's part-time job is figuring out a way to impeach Trump and anybody else that gets in the way of the liberal agenda now as this expands out beyond Trump, right? So you get this with President Trump. Twitter, of course, suspended forever at this point. Facebook, 2 weeks off, probably forever. Reddit got rid of a bunch of Donald Trump subreddits. Twitch disabled his channel. Shopify, so you want to go buy a MAGA hat? Can't do that anymore. Shopify, cleaning everything out, purging everything Trump. Google, of course, pulled Parler, which is why Parler is suing Amazon. Google Play and Apple pulled Parler from their app stores. Got to get rid of them. Why? Because on Parler, they believe in free speech, even though sometimes that speech is uncomfortable. Okay. Now, if there's people making direct threats, go ask Ben Shapiro. That's why the hypocrisy of the left here in big tech is a joke. Ben Shapiro was the most threatened person on Twitter in 2016, and they did next to nothing. I mean, threatened to kill him. Anti-Semitic, kill the Jew, right? Kill this conservative Jew. He was the number one threatened person on Twitter in 2016. Not a whole lot happened, right? So you got YouTube. YouTube's now accelerating their enforcement of anybody putting a video up that's calling the election into question. Instagram, 2 weeks, probably forever for Trump. Snapchat, same thing. Apple, like I said, removed Parler from the App Store. Stripe, this is where this gets really scary and really end times-ish fast. Stripe won't process payments for the Trump campaign. So you get, how far is this purge going to go? Now, when you look at Twitter especially, hey, there have been tweets, and there still are tweets from the leadership of Iran where they routinely arrest, imprison, chemically castrate, and kill homosexuals, where they've talked about wiping Israel off the planet, off the face of the planet, okay? Taking, that's evil intent on an international scale. It's not the president of the United States saying, hey, let's go down to the Capitol and protest and fight like hell. It's his language, not mine. And that's one thing, but Israel and the leader is not the Israel. Sorry, I'm still fighting COVID here. Iran and the Ayatollah can still tweet and talk about wiping Israel off the map, which is genocide. No, we can leave them on there. And then, of course, China government threats and talking about all the craziness that they do in communist China. No, they can keep tweeting, but not the president. And sooner or later, perhaps not you, not me. I mean, you're a little fish. I'm a little fish for the most part. But is it going to get there? PGA in 2022, they yanked that from the PGA championship from Trump National. Who cares that there's people there with a job? Who cares that there's people there trying to put their kids through school? Who cares that there's people there employed by Trump International that have nothing to do with Donald Trump, his policies, what he says, what he doesn't say, what he does, what he doesn't do? But now anybody, could that be me? I mean, I had a bunch of people from the Trump campaign on this show in the last 4 weeks before the election on November 3rd. Does that make me a domestic terrorist because I shared my group, my platform with them? I gave them a voice. Did I throw my shoulder to that plow, that insurrectionist plow? Am I inciting? Is that what's going on here? It all depends on who's in control, right? So I'm going to take you through a bunch of stories there. But let's start with that and some definitions, okay? So they officially have this 17th Congress first session resolution impeaching Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, for high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, yeah, like what? So I've got it right here. I'll take you into that. And then I'm going to talk about a couple of terms that we need to understand, like insurrection and inciting. More when we come back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you today. Perhaps it's time to push back from the table a little bit. Are you gorging yourself on social media, the news of the day, everything going on? We need to stay alert, but don't be idolatrous about it, and don't sell your joy as a follower of Christ, and I hope you are one, bought, a born-again Christian, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't sell that joy down the river for a bowl of stew like Esau did. Okay, and act like your whole Christian life is wrapped up in what happens to the United States of America. Most of the body of Christ doesn't even live here. Remember that. And from a kingdom perspective, the kingdom tends to thrive and expand more radically underneath very adverse conditions. Not that I would pray for that, but if that's what's coming our way as we're looking at this purge of conservative voices and platforms, then I say, bring it on. Okay, bring it on. I want to be about my Father's business, not about the Republican business, the conservative business, the United States business. I want to be about my Father's business. Okay, now sometimes that overlaps with what's going on in the political world, obviously, and that's fine. But the purge is happening. How long is it going to last? And who's going to get caught up in it? I mean, odds are you're a smaller fish than I am, and I'm a really small fish compared to the big fish that are dealing with it right now, and people jumping off of Twitter, and it's a battle. And get used to it, because this isn't going to slow down anytime soon. It's not going to slow down here. It's not going to slow down now. It's not going to slow down in the next 2 or 4 years. It's not going to slow down until Jesus comes back. So just gird up your loins and be ready for all that, okay? All right, let's do a little constitutional study here and make sure we understand truth, even though the left doesn't want us to talk about these things. Come and get me, okay? I'll see you when you get here. All right, so this is the House of Representatives 117th Congress resolution impeaching Donald J. Trump, Donald John Trump, President of the United States for high crimes and misdemeanors, shall have the sole power of impeachment. Further, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution prohibits any person who has, quote unquote, engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the United States from holding any office under the United States. What? Donald J. Trump engaged in high crimes and misdemeanors by inciting violence against the government of the United States. How did he do that? Let's talk about this for a second. Insurrection. What is insurrection? According to, if this still matters, the law of the land. Okay, the United States of America. Well, that's 18 U.S. Code 2323 on rebellion or insurrection, which says the following. And just in case you're wondering about truth, which is what I'm all about here. Whoever incites, we'll get to that word in a second, sets on foot, assists, or engages in any rebellion or insurrection against the authority of the United States or the laws thereof, or gives aid or comfort thereto, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both, and shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States. Okay, so insurrection, trying to literally overthrow the government. Is that what happened last Wednesday? Were they trying to overthrow the government? No. If that was their way of overthrowing a government by jumping into one particular building that represents one third of the three branches of government and going in there and acting like a bunch of idiots, doing some property damage, stealing stuff, breaking in, harming people. People have died. A lot of horrendous things as a result of that. But was that their goal? Was to take over the government of the United States of America as an insurrection? Of course not. I think there was a lot of different goals involved, including Antifa and paid agitators, as well as some Trump followers that were stupid enough to go in there. And they all should be punished. Cards on the table. And that's starting to, they're rounding up people all over the place. There's some QAnon whack jobs. There's some BLM whack jobs. There's some Trump idolater type whack jobs. Are any of them Christian? I don't know. Do you, by the way, for sure? Everybody's acting like they have full possession of knowledge. They're claiming, thus saith that, and thus saith the other thing. Thus saith in Italy. It's the Vatican. It's the Pope. It's the Biden compound over there in Ukraine. This is it, Steve. This is it. He's declaring martial law. A lot of people think they know everything. Seems to me like we know much at all. We don't know much at all right now. Confusion, darkness, chaos. Yep, the devil is afoot. Having a lot of fun with all this. But what does it mean to incite? How do you incite? That means to encourage or stir up violent or unlawful behavior, to urge or persuade someone to act in a violent or unlawful way. Let me ask you a question based on the First Amendment. Is it unlawful to gather and complain about your government? It is not. Is it unlawful to petition your government for a redress of your grievances? It is not. Those are protected things in the First Amendment. Is it unlawful to go make a big noise and be a jerk outside of a government building? Most likely it isn't. There might be some city ordinances and things like that, but is that unconstitutional? It is not. So what did Trump tell him to do? Hey, we're going to march down to the Capitol building. We're going to protest. We're going to fight like hell. Fight like hell, by the way, is a euphemism. All that is a metaphorical statement. It's hyperbole. Hey, I'm gonna fight like heck for my family. I'm going to fight like heck for my wife to be able to finish her 5 semesters of training to become a sonographer, to do sonograms. I'm going to fight like heck for her. Steve, is that a violent statement? Of course not. So this whole thing on its face is ridiculous. Okay. And Eddie on Facebook Live. Yeah, they've got about 6,000 National Guard in D.C. now. 6,000, which, by the way, the breakdown in leadership and clear thinking, aside from politics, is being exposed all over the place in D.C. about the National Guard and the assumption, why don't we have more people there? Of course, now, again, we could do this ad nauseum every day, okay? Yes, the police move some gates in some places, and we're rather welcoming to some people in some parts of the Capitol. In other parts of the Capitol, they're picking up bats and all kinds of stuff and busting their way in. It's not one thing fits the whole narrative. There's a lot of different narratives going on here. A lot of different stories, a lot of different players. So can't we all just have a little bit of humility and actually quit making such declarative statements? This is like a big casserole, what happened last Wednesday, and there's a bunch of different ingredients there. And it's going to take some time to pull that apart if we actually can, if anybody's willing to. But what about that old document known as the Constitution? Okay, well, there's Alan Dershowitz, Harvard law professor, who actually was one of Trump's defenders, didn't vote for Trump before. In the previous resolution to impeach the president, quote, the case cannot come to trial in the Senate because the Senate has rules and the rules would not allow the case to come to trial until, according to the majority leader, until 1 p.m. on January 20th, an hour the President Trump leaves office. That's when they're meeting next. And the Constitution specifically says the president shall be removed from office upon impeachment. It doesn't say the former president. Congress has no power to impeach or try a private citizen, whether it be a private citizen named Donald Trump or named Barack Obama or anyone else. Despite broad and justified condemnations of his words, Trump never actually called for violence, this is Alan Dershowitz, or riots. But he urged his supporters to march on the Capitol to raise their opposition to the certification of electoral votes and to back the recent challenges made by a few members of Congress. Is that an impeachable offense? Doesn't matter constitutionally anymore. Steve Dace, our good friend from The Blaze, a few weeks back said that we're no longer a nation of laws. We're a nation of political will. Not a nation of laws, a nation of political will. Think on that. Twitter has the political will. Amazon does. Google does. Democrats do. Republicans, usually, not so much. They don't have the political will. They're afraid of how it's going to make them look. They're afraid of a fight. Oh, there, I said that word again. Sorry. Political will rather than laws. Welcome to 2021. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Hey, I'm going to encourage you to support other people. I appreciate you listening to the show. I appreciate all of you on Facebook Live. And I'll stay on Facebook Live. I'll keep using Facebook as long as I can until they throw us off. I'm not a big enough fish with like 100,000 people on Facebook that are part of the radio show platform. That's not Facebook Live. But, you know, a good Facebook Live for us, we'll get 4,000 or 5,000 views, 6,000 views, something like that. Occasionally it's blown up beyond that. Depends on a guest, things of that nature. But for the most part, they're concentrating on all the big fish right now. I'm not one of them. But they'll work their way down and through the system and decide who they're going to identify as being dangerous to the nation and somebody that they would want to label dangerous. And those are pretty much conservatives. Remember, big tech. Before, you go back to 1980, and you could maybe make a case that big business was mostly aligned with Republicans. But you'd have to go back to about 1980 to do that. Not anymore, baby. No, don't pull your head out of the sand. Because big business and big money is mostly aligned with liberals, the elite, okay? Not just here in America, but around the world. So all of a sudden, you're, as a conservative, your public enemy number one. They can paint you with any Trump support, because if Trump's an insider and an insurrectionist, well, obviously you are. If you believe the election was stolen, you're no better, no worse than him. You're just as much of a problem as him. And so we need to, according to the ABC guide, I mentioned this tweet on Friday, they turned around and rewrote it. The internet needs to be cleansed of people like us. Cleansed. Where have we heard that kind of phraseology before? Cleanse. We got to cleanse the internet of people like who? People like Trump. Okay, expand that. Conservatives. Here, we're bad. We're dangerous. We're crazy. We are the problem. In fact, we're public enemy number one. And so you have to go after us, right? And big tech, this is, look at how our lives run through big tech. I'm holding up my iPhone here in the studio. I mean, how much of my life is done on this iPhone every day? A big chunk of it, sad to say. And then Facebook Live, we're on there right now. Donations coming through the internet, yada, yada, yada. On and on and on it goes. Who controls all that stuff? Could they control whether you could buy or sell? They could. Now, where have I heard that kind of story before? You need to have some kind of a mark in order to buy and sell. Oh, that's right. I read that in the Bible. How interesting. This was really scary. Ben Shapiro mentioned this earlier. Oh, let me finish that thought. Sorry, I'm a little all over the place. Still fighting the COVID. You need to support alternatives, okay? Ben Shapiro on the Daily Wire, right? I mean, I have their highest level of subscription there. I get news there, commentary there. I also subscribe to The Blaze. I'm not making any money on this stuff because, again, I'm in Christian radio, so I'm not here to make a bunch of money. So The Blaze, Glenn Beck and all those guys, Steve Dace, that's where he's at. Daily Wire, and I also subscribe to Bill O'Reilly. I like Bill O'Reilly a lot. Wow, Steve, you like Bill O'Reilly. He did this, that, and the other thing. Oh, okay. He was without sin, cast the first stone, okay? So I subscribe to all three of those websites, and those are independent operators now, and you have to support things like that. That should be becoming more obvious to you all the time. Why? And this is from the Axios. Just a great little overview here. Ben Shapiro referenced this earlier today. Republicans come to grips with powerlessness everywhere. Republicans are losing power where power matters most at the national level, in politics, media, technology, and the workplace. By the way, that's not new. Why it matters. Republicans often felt mistreated when they had real power in the form of the presidency and Senate. Watch Fox News or listen to Ben Shapiro and you will see and hear how this new isolation will feed Republican worries and grievances in the months ahead. Tucker Carlson warned on Fox, tens of millions of Americans have no chance. They're about to be crushed by the ascendant left. I'm down that road as well. Democrats will soon control the White House, Senate, and House. They already dominate most mainstream newsrooms, own big tech companies, and often band together inside corporations to force politically motivated decisions. Republicans will be left with Mitch McConnell as the party leader of a 50-50 Senate, primetime on Fox News and the Wall Street Journal editorial page. Most importantly, the right has the Supreme Court, which might prove to be the one reliable counterbalance in the majority of power at the state level. We'll see. Conservatives long ago, listen to this, lost so many key institutions that define the national conversation, including culture, media, and higher education. Let's stop there for a second, okay? Culture, media, and higher education. Culture. All this stuff is downstream from culture. We lost culture when we stopped investing in the culture and started investing in ourselves and our churches and our little cliques, right? Our little evangelical Christian clique. Let's take care of me, myself, and I. I was like that for a while. And you lose the culture. Politics is downstream from culture. Politics doesn't set culture. Politics is downstream from culture. So as we've lost the culture and America has secularized more and more and more, it goes left. Secular goes left because it catapults any notion of absolute truth out the door. Which, by the way, enables the human sin nature, and autonomy is the name of the game, and we've been fighting that since we got kicked out of the garden. So there's nothing new going on here. There's nothing new under the sun, okay? So here's some other stories. Power-drunk Democrats join CNN in lobbying to ban Fox News from the airwaves. CNN's chief media correspondent, Brian Stelter, because they tell the truth all the time, called for action in his newsletter, claiming that dishonest companies that profit off of disinformation and conspiracy theories such as Fox News need to be deplatformed. Isn't that funny to hear that from CNN? We regularly discuss what the big tech companies have done to poison the public conversation by providing large platforms to bad faith actors who lie, mislead, and promote conspiracy theories, Stelter wrote. But what about TV companies that provide platforms to networks such as Newsmax, One American News, and yes, Fox News? See, they got to go after all that stuff. The Washington Post ran multiple columns on Friday that shifted some of the blame for Wednesday's riot on conservative media. This would never have happened if Fox News, OAN, Newsmax, Mark Levin, The Daily Wire, and all the rest had not been spreading poisonous lies to allege that the election was stolen, one article by Max Boot read. Quote, the pro-Trump media world peddled the lies that fueled the Capitol mob. Fox News led the way. Read the headline to another Washington Post column. So that's going on. Here's another one. This one's really crazy. Top Tech Foundation, deplatforming not enough. Entire internet needs to change after Capitol incursion. This was in the Western Journal. Mozilla, the founder and developer of the popular free web browser Firefox, published a blog post on Friday. Quote, there's no question that social media played a role in the siege and takeover of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, which, by the way, lasted, what, a couple hours? Mozilla said in a blog post, since there's been significant focus on the deplatforming of President Donald Trump. By all means, the question of when to deplatform a head of state is a critical one among many that must be addressed. When should platforms make these decisions? Is that decision-making power theirs alone? Apparently so. That's me. Back to this article. But as reprehensible as the actions of Donald Trump are, the rampant use of the internet to foment violence and hate and reinforce white supremacy is about more than any one personality. Of course, it's always about skin color. Always. Donald Trump is certainly not the first politician to exploit the architecture of the internet in this way, and he won't be the last. We need solutions. Mozilla essentially called everyone who didn't vote for Democrats in the last election a racist. Then it advocated for more censorship and more voter disenfranchisement for conservatives who already face so much discrimination in their daily lives, politically speaking. The company said it's time to unmask who is paying for advertisements. Listen to this. How much they are paying and who is being targeted. That sounds an awful lot like advocation for doxing people. Surely that won't be misused and unevenly applied. Doxing is when you come out and tell people, hey, this Steve Noble guy, he's a problem. Here's where he lives. Here's his phone number. That's what it means to dox people, okay? Get this one. This one hit a little closer to home for me. Talk radio owner orders conservative host to temper election fraud rhetoric. This was in the Washington Post today. After months of stoking anger about alleged election fraud, one of America's largest talk radio companies has decided on an abrupt change of direction. Cumulus Media, so they have Shapiro, Levin, Dan Bongino, which employs some of the most popular right-leaning talk show hosts in the United States, has told its on-air personalities to stop suggesting that the election was stolen from President Trump or else face termination. We need to help induce national calm now, Brian Phillips, executive vice president of content for Cumulus, wrote in an internal memo. Cumulus and its program syndication arm, Westwood One, quote, will not tolerate any suggestion that the election has not ended. The election has been resolved and there are no alternate acceptable paths. The memo adds, if you transgress this policy, you can expect to separate from the company immediately. So if your opinion differs, even if you don't have a great case, but you want to espouse your opinion, First Amendment, right to free speech, even if you're an idiot, then we'll fire you. Dig this one. Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush. She tweeted this out on January 9th. Of course, she won't be deplatformed. Yes, it's the 14th Amendment, and it's why I'm introducing a resolution to investigate and expel the members who attempted to overturn the presidential election and incited a white supremacist coup attempt. Everything's about skin color. So if you're white, intersectionality and critical race theory, you're a big part of the problem here. The skin color. So look at your skin. Is it Caucasianish? Is it whitish? You're a part of the problem simply based on that. So she wants to use the 14th Amendment, which I referenced earlier. That's what they referenced for Trump. To say these guys are guilty of insurrection because they wanted to object constitutionally? It's nuts. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. I started the show today by suggesting, encouraging all of us that maybe on a daily basis now we should push back from the table a little bit and not have such an enormous diet of the news of the day. And so in order to kind of put my money where my mouth is, so to speak, we're going to switch gears here in the last segment of the show. It is a Monday. For those of you that are newer to the program, either on radio or Facebook Live, the last segment of the show on Mondays, we talk about something else that the Lord has spoken much about because he knows our hearts. He knows the things that we struggle with. The Bible talks a lot about money and possessions, more specifically about money, possessions, than even things like faith or prayer. Go look it up. Do the numbers. Find out for yourself, because God knows we struggle with that issue. And as we were talking to David Fisher last week when we did a full Money Monday show together to kick off the year last week, we were wondering, David, welcome back, what's it going to look like if, in fact, the Democrats take over the Senate? That's exactly what's happening. And so this will continue to be 2021, starting to make 2020 look like a relatively simple year. Anyway, great to hear from you. How are you?
My hands are over my face going, and I'm not a very good follower of your advice. I did not push myself back here recently with what has all happened, but we'll get through this just like the Lord is on the throne no matter what.
That's right. Exactly right. It's so nice to have that reality, which should be the basis of our of our walk through this life is the foundation that you're built on. So with the Money Monday updates, we always start with a passage of scripture. You're in Matthew 16 this time. So let's start there, and then we'll dive into what's going on in the markets.
It's going to be a little bit more longer and usual than this time, than normal, but it says, he began asking his disciples, saying, quote, who do you say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, but others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, just like us as followers of Christ, even back in biblical days, when Jesus first came into ministry, people asked, you know, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And the same questions are being asked today. I'm going to use this as an analogy. Who is America? And so many people are saying so many different things by their words and also by their actions. And I can go into all that, you know, some of the spending is a lot of differences, and the belief system, we saw the writing in the Capitol, it's very disturbing, to say the least. But I have to be so compassionate and be adamant saying, you know, we are stronger together than we are alone. And we need to stand together and find what we have in common ground. We don't have to believe all the same. That's not what makes up the church. But we have one thing in common as the church, that he is the Christ, and we have one thing in common, that we are one nation under God, and we all are Americans. And as we move towards that common goal, I believe if there's any time that we ask that for the Lord to heal our nation, we need healing more than ever that I have completely have ever seen in my close to 6 years walking on this earth. Yeah. And that is my prayer for today.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And that's what we've got to remember when we are dealing with Christ. Are we looking to Jesus primarily as somebody that's going to save America? Or do we consider him in light of seeing Americans saved, in light of the gospel, in light of their eternal salvation or loss? And that's where we got to keep him in the right place, the place that he rightly claimed and that he established in all of our hearts and minds and lives for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. So a great reminder about that. Well, the market, obviously, this is going to be an interesting ride. The market's up, the market's down. I think Twitter was down as much as 15% today. It's not down, it's like down 7% or so the last time I checked it. So what's going on? You called it the great financial debate. Is the market overvalued? And so why does it still move to the upside if it is?
Well, there's still potential to upside for stocks, but there's also a lot of potential for downside adjustment and lower valuations, and one should be prepared for that. You know, calling the tops in bubbles is really difficult, especially when the dollar in the fiat currency is a bubble and the markets are tied to the dollar. So, you know, why do I say that? Because the global financial system is the biggest bubble we've ever had in the world, and investors currently hold $18 trillion of negative yielding debt. I mean, that's just unheard of. And we're going to create the most amount of negative yielding debt this year. The Fed probably will. But let's quote some people. David Hunter, strategist, MicroStrategist, said a year ago, you're going to see a massive melt-up in the financial markets followed by an equally tremendous market crash, and he's predicting 65 to 80% crash this year. He loves the market, but he's saying get ready for it. Edward Yardini, some people are saying, who's that? He's a longtime bull of stocks. He worked for Prudential, Deutsche Bank, firms like that. He's saying, a couple days ago on CNBC, euphoria is where the market's at. Citi says in an article December 2nd, it's euphoric, the most since the dot-com bubble. JP Morgan says December 6th, the market is crowded with trades and the euphoric is the consensus. December 15th, Wall Street Journal says euphoria triggers. Jeez. And Bank of America is saying a sell signal. And I'll quote two more people. Citi economist, chief economist Tobias Lekovich said, get ready, quote, 100% historical probability of down markets coming in the next 12 months at current levels. Not 90, not 50, not possibly, 100%. That's just like insane to be that confident.
Yeah.
Sir John Templeton said, bull markets are born out of pessimism, grown on skepticism, mature on optimism, and die on euphoria. And the four bad words that you don't want to say that have cost people the most amount of money is, quote, this time it's different. And it's not different this time. Be very careful. Do not put 100% of your money in any one asset class in this environment.
Yeah, and good old euphoria is a highly emotional state and not thinking clearly. We talk about don't make a bunch of decisions when you're highly emotional, angry, broken, whatever. The same thing is true. Don't think that you're going to ride euphoria through the rest of your life because it's just ridiculous. And we shouldn't be controlled by our emotions yet. That's pretty amazing that they continue to use that word over and over again. And Yardini is very well respected. I mean, the guy that handles most of our investment information is big on Yardini, looks at Yardini information all the time. And
he's really conservative.
Very conservative. And so that's just fascinating to see what's going on there. Last week we did the top 10 predictions, right? And we talked about a Biden presidency and what's that going to look like. And if they take over the Senate, which both things are happening. So do we need to, need to get an eraser out, David, and start crossing stuff off? What are we doing here?
No way. Oh, yes. Unfortunately, we need to adjust it, Steve. Sorry for yelling in the listeners' ear. Okay, so I said, I'm not going to go through all 10. We don't have time, but I said the Fed's going to pump at least $1.2 trillion of paper in the system. They did 3.3 last year. Scratch that out. Here's the numbers without any more spending, okay? $2 trillion, CARES Act, more coming up, $9.8 billion stimulus, $463 billion more stimulus, and the Fed printing $3.2 trillion. That's $6.45 trillion. Boy, was I way off. That's twice as much as they did last year. I also said inflation's going to rise slightly over 2%. Jeffrey Gundlach, we've talked about him before, big second largest hedge fund manager in the world, said on CNBC today, inflation is going to rise above 3% in 2021. And the last thing that I think we need to erase and just is the most disturbing. I said the government's going to spend $6 trillion, and we kind of like gasped when I said this a week ago. It's much larger than that. 5.5, you know, keep in mind, we talked about this, Republican or Democrat, Senate, House, President, Democrat, no resistance for 2 years until the midterms. $5.5 trillion is the budget. $2 trillion stimulus, Joe Biden says, coming out of the gate. He said that 2 days ago. Pay off student loans, that's 1.7, but let's just whittle it down to one. I'm going to be really conservative on these numbers. Medicare for all, that's $1.1 trillion. The new Green Deal, some say it's $10 trillion, $4 trillion, $100 trillion, President Trump said. I'll say it's $2 trillion. We'll stick with Biden's number. I think it's going to be way more than that. And the $2 trillion previous super infrastructure bill that Obama couldn't pass because there's gridlock, Trump couldn't pass because of gridlock, we don't have gridlock, that's $13.6 trillion this year. It's insane how much money they're going to spend. I hope I'm dead wrong. I'm not predicting that. I'm just adding the math up, and it scares me to death.
Yeah, really amazing numbers once you start kind of taking the brakes off the car. It doesn't matter what kind of horsepower the car has. The fact that it has no brakes, nothing's going to stop it. It was interesting. People are always oftentimes on Money Monday in the background, David, asking about Bitcoin and crypto and digital currency. Let's make sure we talk about that a little bit more next week. But it was interesting to see Bitcoin was down went from 40,000 to 32,000, at least when I looked at it this morning. Pretty wild stuff at play.
Yeah, Bitcoin went down 18% today, so not something you want to play around with. 20%, I'm just reading it right now. 20% in 3 days.
Yeah, just an amazing fluctuation, and we can expect some of that to be the new normal as we push into a new season here politically, which means a new season for the budget, new season for the financials, and we all need to be very, very careful. If you want to get some more information, education, as David likes to say, landmarkgold.com is the website, as always. Landmarkgold.com, or the old-fashioned way, David, what's the phone number?
844-879-8882.
844-879-8882. God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling in today. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, my brother. Bye.
See ya. So keep praying. Push back from the table. Maybe take a break tonight. But keep praying. Keep praying for peace, wisdom, discernment, and against spiritual forces of darkness. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.